This episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And if you're listening to this live, you're in for a treat because my April bundle is still available. It's $450 worth of full-size products, my best products from my site, skincare, makeup, all sorts of things to help you treat yourself and have a spa day at home and get a little glammed up for your Zoom calls just for $99. No strings attached. What I do need you to do if you're listening to this now is shoot me a message, search hashtag MinuteWithMary so we could scoop that up for you. And otherwise, if you're listening to this in May, I'm sorry, but you're going to have a different deal and it's all good. Just go to minutewithmary.com/discount if you're listening to this in the future. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of a last that is gone. Save her that last year. Mary of soul, she sailed on a day over the seas of stars.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. My name's Mary Larson. Fun thing. I'm cutting you off, Blake. I'm cutting you off.
You
for
are
a second.
Cutting me off. What are you doing to me here?
Let me tell you.
We got a process.
You and I have talked about how much we love this choral intro, and we only have two more days of it.
That's right.
And then, you know, when season six does come, it's going to be a completely different intro.
Yep.
And here we are in quarantine. I just want to know, if you sing, if you're a singer, and you'd like to maybe do an Outlander Cast collaboration, doing the Skyboat song.
Oh.
Message us at outlandercast@gmail.com.
This is all news to me.
Yeah, I'm feeling
you're
it right now.
Dropping bombs on me.
I can't sing all those parts, man. I can't reach that low. I can't sing that high. I'm a solid alto, and I need me some sopranos and some tenors and some baritones and probably some other altos to like help carry me because I haven't been singing that much. So if you sing, email us at outlandercast@gmail.com. Better yet, if you can possibly arrange that piece by listening to it, if you're like a real good musician, if you could be like, oh yeah, I could figure that out. Send it to me.
If you're wicked good.
Because we can use things like the acapella app. We got apps now. We got apps now so people can keep singing with each other.
Well, my name is...
who are you?
My name is Blake, and I'm ready to start drinking some White Claws as the unofficial sponsor of the Outlander Cast listener feedback episode. So here it is. Mary.
Hey.
Mary did not open hers, but we will... Cheers.
You're welcome.
And well, she already opened hers prior to the recording. I said that was against the rules. That is a Mary and Blake commandment.
I didn't even know that there was rules.
Yeah, well, there is now. Just like you're making songs all of a sudden, I'm making rules.
There we go.
That's how we're doing it.
So, of course, this is the listener feedback episode, all about episode 510 of Outlander. What a divisive episode.
Yes, it is.
Oh. As I will say, most of season five has been. People have loved it or hated it.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't say that it has been... I mean, I can say that it has been like this throughout most of Outlander's run. I would say that the one season that got the most acclaim from everybody was season one. After that, it's become pretty divisive between everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you rank season five among others in
I told you I can't rate it yet until the end of the season.
Well, no, so far at least. So far. I mean,
well, I don't know.
About the divisiveness of it all.
Oh, I would say one.
Really?
Like
this is the first one? Like number one divisiveness.
Yeah. Whereas in past seasons I feel like a majority leaned one way or leaned the other way. It didn't feel as split down the road.
Yep.
And you and I have really liked and loved this season.
Yes.
So it's been interesting to get feedback where people, because you're often a very hard grader. And
yes.
We get things where we're like, wow, look at this. So we're of course gonna delve on in. This episode is all about you. If you are joining us here live, thank you so very much for joining us. Keep the conversations going in the comments. We are going to be reading from all sorts of places. Website, email, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all of these places.
We have Tammy Lish Spencer here saying, one of our Outlander Cast staff members, that she bought White Claws just for tonight.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Let us know, everybody at home, what are you drinking? You having some tea? You having some water? You having a little something
and
else?
We have some people in here asking, what is a White Claw? It is, I will read it to you right off the bottle. It is a spiked, sparkling water with an I'm drinking the natural lime version of it. So it's basically, it's seltzer water that has got alcohol in it. It's got booze. And they got all different kinds of flavors. This particular one's natural lime. They got some grapefruits. They got some other ones. Again, this episode unofficially brought to you by White Claw. So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us this entire season so far. And thank you for... all the great reviews that you've given us on Apple Podcasts. We got a whole ton last from the last episode. Like, I think we must have gotten 6 or 7 of them, just like boom, 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 right in a row. We're up there in reviews, and so please keep them coming. And obviously, go to maryandblake.com to check out all of the podcasts that we have as we're entering Jartlander very soon.
Don't say the swear.
I know.
Don't say the swear.
It's just something that. Oh, actually.
Shame.
Can't bring that up in this world quite yet. No. But you do want to catch up on the things that Mary and I are doing. And you can do that at maryandblake.com with it to find out all the different podcasts. And also, if you go to outlandercastclan.com, you can check out all the extra podcasts that you get as a member there that don't normally come on our Mary and Blake feed, whether it's Outlandercast or This Is Us 2 or whatever. These are special Mary and Blake episodes that are just for you guys that over at outlandercastclan.com. And we got some really cool things planned for the title that shall not be named. We're very excited about it. So that is that. Marvin.
Yes.
We've opened up the White Claws. We talked about maryandblake.com and outlandercastclan.com. Are you ready to release the hounds?
I am. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, all right, all right.
Kicking things off, we have Dawn on the website who said, "No way, Bonnet wanted to have the family that Jemmy and Bree could have offered him, but not really. That was just a facade. All through his kidnapping, Bree tried to behave like a gentleman would, asking about manners and such, but he knew deep inside that he could never measure up to that station in life, and that rotted away at him. Inside, he was still the man who killed children without a second thought because they had no value and raped women because they were disposable. His listening to Bree read and sharing that he was indeed terrified of the seas was interesting."
Time out. Hold on. My sister Shannon is watching.
Hey, sissy.
Hey, sis.
Yay. Cheers to sis.
All right, sis.
Wish she could give you a big hug,
there you
sissy.
Go. There you go, sis. Yes, thank you very much. All right, continue. I apologize.
Sissy needs to watch Outlander. Hasn't she started?
I think she did start on Netflix.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sis. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Bonnet's listening to Bree read and sharing that he was indeed terrified of the seas was interesting. Bonnet often thinks he can control everything, but the sea is a power in itself. When Bree could not kiss him, Bonnet's sadistic true nature took over. He is having sex with the prostitute, with Bree having to suppress memories of her. Goodness gracious, I feel so terrible saying this entire. That whole situation, we'll just say, was sickening. I felt every bit of Bree's terror and disgust. Bonnet reveled in her discomfort, and when he attempted to sell her into slavery for £6, he treated her not as the mother of his child, a child that he wanted to care for, but as someone who was just disposable. Even still, when Roger was beating the heck out of him, Bonnet was still unrepentant. The cocky expression on Ed Spillier's face said it all. Bonnet's wealthy and influential friends were going to get him out of this mess. But with Jamie's word, Governor Tryon owes us, Bonnet knew he was in trouble. Screwed. Not the way that he likes. Ed Spillier's acting was amazing. With that scream, I could feel Bonnet's fear of drowning.
Oh,
he was really suffering as he was bound and the water closed in on him. He definitely joins Blackjack as a memorable villain. Now, do you agree with that? That he joined the ranks of Outlander villains? Let us know, of course, in our live comments. Yeah. And Blake, what do you think?
I would say yes. He is up there. Listen, Blackjack Randall is a whole nother level to himself. There's no way around that. But what I will say is Stephen Bonnet is by far the best villain outside of Blackjack Randall. And it's not even close.
On Outlander.
On Outlander. Yeah, yeah. Not even close. There's no one else can come up to that level so far. I think in part because of Ed Spolia's, also in part because of how the people wrote Stephen Bonnet. So he's in the conversation. I'm willing to have a conversation But full stop at the Blackjack Randall talk. No. Blackjack Randall did things that were very specific and were specifically designed to be the perfect antagonist against Claire. And once you have that, Claire being the main character of this show, he's the perfect villain. But, I mean, it is what it is. And I don't even like saying the word villain. I like saying the word antagonist.
Ooh.
Because there's more to an antagonist. There's more...
Substance
there.
Villain is just like, you know, an evil laughing, cape-wearing person in the shadows.
Villain would be the Compte. You know, like, that's a villain. That's a guy that's just one note that doesn't really do anything other than just move the plot along, because that's what needs to happen. All right, on Facebook, Rebecca Ann says, there's only so much they can do with Bonnet haunting the characters. They all needed closure with him, and I needed the closure with Bonnet. Mary, are you happy they closed on him?
Yeah, I'm fine with them closing on him now. There's a lot of stuff to get through, so I'm okay with it. And I think that Ed Spaliers did Bonnet justice, more justice than I had expected as a book reader. Like, I'm pumped how he did it. You know, he's a villain that we love to hate, and obviously, you know, he's been hiding in the background. He's just been kind of like this little snake that we've been able to have sprinkled in. I think it would have been hard to continue to sprinkle him in and have us fear him much longer. It would have just been like, all right, let's get to it. Let's find Bonnet. Had we stretched it out until season six. So I'm happy we did it now.
We had a commenter here saying that the Outlander needed Ira Stephen Bear, my old Outlander Binky. They needed Ira Stephen Bear back to write Stephen Bonnet.
Mm.
I kind of agree.
I think they did a fine job with this
Bonnet. They did. They did.
Yeah,
they did.
I think they did a great... I don't.
But in a dream world.
In a dream world, if he could have, but I think they did a really good job with him. I think Ed Spaliers brought him to a completely despicable level.
In a dream world, my writer would be Ira Stephen Bear, the director would be Anna Forster, and the director of photography would be Steve McNutt, and that would be great. But alas, we don't have that anymore.
Okay, Kathy Adams Chase also wrote in on Facebook saying the beach scene was a wonderful breather in the middle of the show. I agree, Kathy.
Yes.
That beach scene just brought me so much joy. Reminded us yet again, they had that sprinkling of like, yes, this is a time-traveling show.
Sure.
Gosh, I love whales. We, of course, live in New England. We live in Rhode Island, the tiniest state in the U.S., and it's up in the Northeast. And, you know, there's all these whale watches that you can go on. We see a lot of seals in Rhode Island. You can just see those hanging out, not like in the neighborhood, but you can see them pretty easily often from shore. But, yeah, whales are crazy awesome.
And another thing that comes out of this, too, is the fact that what we're not considering is there's a lot of tension in this episode. And for us to care... about the Bree and Claire relationship, we need more from them as a mother-daughter team. We need more good memories. So we have that measured against the tension that we're getting between Bree and Bonnet. So once you start putting those two together, I mean, it is by design. It is absolutely by design that we have the beach scenes together with Bree and Claire, especially in the show. And then you juxtapose that against what happens with Bonnet and Bree. In order to care, you need to have something to care about.
Well, it lifts you up high, so much higher, so that when you fall, it's a more substantial fall.
And because there's so much tension between the thing with Bonnet and Bree, you needed something to look back on contained within this one episode. You needed something to look back on and say, we had this great moment. Then we can move forward with all the dangerous crap that we have. Because again, I think the key relationship here. Yes, I think the key relationship that makes you care about Bree is the mother-daughter relationship. Would you agree with that, or do you think it's more Jamie and Bree that you would care about, or is it something else completely that I'm not even thinking?
I mean,
about?
I definitely think that Bree and Jamie need to hang out. They need to hang out in this show.
Yeah.
We had those beautiful moments last season when they were out looking, you know, for the bees and everything, and they really got to have a heart to heart. And I feel like we haven't had that in this season. I didn't even see him dance with his daughter at the wedding. You know, I miss that relationship right now, and I'm hoping that we get to have some of it in the next couple of episodes. But I will say that obviously Bree being with Claire for her entire life and for so much of that to be tense, I'm happy to see these moments right now.
Yep. Karen Guitar says, I think she did have some compassion, Bree, for Stephen Bonnet because of who she is, therefore mercy. And she never wanted a chance to going through anything like that again. therefore made sure he was dead.
So Karen thinks she did it to make sure he was dead.
Yeah, but also but also because that's who she is, that the mercy part of it is something
that... She's a 50-50.
Yeah, she's a 50-50 person. And I think I kind of agree with that. That sentiment. I'm on board with that.
Marsha Cronin wrote in on Facebook saying, having Bonnet stay longer would have made much more impactful. So agree with Blake. It helps us viewers feel a part of the drama. We could have a discussion on the mercy versus the revenge debate.
And I included this because that is a fantastic point. If I understand that some of the listeners and some of the viewers of Outlander were probably like, okay, I'm done with Bonnet. Like we're moving on from him. Mm-hmm. But the debate that goes on between the mercy versus revenge is a really important debate for us as viewers, and I think for the character of Brianna. And if we spent more time with Bonnet and how, like, if they were able to find a way to have Bree within his clutches for at least two episodes, is there a moment in time where she... where you start to think, oh my God, maybe she is taking his offer seriously. Now, like, we all know that she won't, but maybe there's something there that lends itself to the debate between mercy and revenge and makes it much more of a convincing debate than what we already have. Would you agree with that or would you disagree, Mary?
I don't know. I mean, as I said, I'm feeling fine with the time that we've had with Bonnet. There's a lot coming. There's a lot coming that we need to clear some room for.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like Bonnet's just always kind of been back there, and he's been always this villain that we've wanted to kill or capture or get rid of somehow. And all I'm saying is that there's a lot coming. So, I'm fine. Put it down. I'm fine that he's gone.
Yep.
I feel like I hated him a lot, and I feel like Ed Spalier's helped me loathe him more.
Fair enough. I got it. All right. Amber Branham, she says, listen to just the last podcast, and I have a question.
Oh, yes.
How are viewers supposed to believe Bonnet wouldn't have raped Bree again? How are we supposed to do that? You touch down on emotional math, and viewers know he would have again, considering, one, he only stopped in the books because she was pregnant, and two, he was selling her to be raped by another captain. What we know about his character and the way this scenario played out does not make any sense. He was in the process of raping her again. I see, I don't like comparing the book, but he was in the process of raping her in the book until she said she was pregnant. In the show, that wasn't mentioned, so we as viewers have no reason to believe he wouldn't have raped her again. In fact, the fact that he wanted to be a husband and father with her as a reason was thrown out of the window the second he decided to sell her and be raped by someone else. Please talk about this major character blunder, because it does not add up. We were given no reasonable scenario as to why he didn't rape her instead of messing with the maid. Listen, I don't care what happens in the books, because within the canon of the TV show, the books don't exist. So I don't care if... I don't care if what happened between them in the book.
You're not allowing that into your universe.
No. You can't allow that into the TV universe. You can't. You have to go along with what the show is telling you. Having said that, so I think we have to dismiss that side altogether. My question to you, Mary, is what was posed to us as viewers about Bonnet and how he reacted with Brianna, does the emotional math add up? And does it make sense how he acted towards Brianna?
So when I watched this episode, I took it as he really wanted to be a gentleman. I think I took it as he really had daydreamed about this family that he could have created with Bree and with Jemmy.
Yep.
And he's already defiled Bree. He's already done that to her, and she's still standing, and she's a very strong woman. And I think he thought he would try something different. I think, you know, there was that inkling of him that's like, you know, maybe she does want me. She came and she spoke to me and we have this connection and I'm going to show her, you know, thinking that Bree would be jealous and thinking that this could be a new way to try to hurt her. I wasn't shocked that in the show he didn't attempt to get with her.
Right. So I guess the ultimate point is there some kind of mistake that the show is made by Bonnet just not...
I think if
again.
He didn't have, you know, the interaction with the prostitute, then I would have been like, well, she got off easy. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But by him doing that, I mean, that was so vile.
Right.
Absolutely vile. So
right.
by the show doing that, I mean, that's in and of itself traumatizing for her to have to watch her rapist do that. No,
right.
All,
right.
Set.
Right.
All set. All set. Brianna's going to have more nightmares again, be drawing all these pictures of him again.
All right. On Instagram.
Maybe not, because he's dead.
What do we got on Instagram?
Okay. Instagram. Diet DS said, I love Outlander, but the pacing this season has felt strange. I feel like they did Ed Spaliers a disservice this season by not featuring him more throughout. It feels like they have certain storylines that they're just trying to check off on a list to wrap up, like the Murtaugh Regulator storyline. Check. Stephen Bonnet storyline. Check. I just feel like so much has happened this season, but also nothing at all. This episode felt like one of the only episodes where we actually had any sort of action. It felt much more like season one to me. Maybe that's the villain aspect. But it's a damn shame to see Ed Spillier's go. I'm a little less intrigued by what will happen now in the last two episodes. Well, I'm just going to say, hold on to your butts, okay? Hold on.
I will say that and I hate using this phrase, oh, the pacing is off, because a lot of the times whenever somebody says, oh, the pacing was a little off, it was a little funky, that usually means they have no idea what they're talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not saying that this person doesn't have an idea what they're talking about, but usually that's what is happening. Having said that, the way that things have been put out into the Outlander universe, the way that they've transpired, yeah, it has been a little stop and go. And, you know, the beginning part of this season is a perfect example of that. And all of a sudden now, within these past four episodes, now we're gunning.
I mean, let's be real. Jamie and Claire need a vacation. They need a break.
Yeah,
they need a stay-at-home order. Okay, stop
they
going
need to social
outside.
Distance.
Yes,
just start social distance the best
you
can.
Will be fine if everyone on the ridge just stayed home. None of this would be happening.
So, do you think that they did, because of how this has been such a stop and go thing? Diet DS or Diet whatever it is actually brought up a point. They didn't really do a whole ton of justice to Stephen Bonnet, the villain. Or the antagonist.
I think they took a character that I found bad, but just like kind of flat to me in the books, and had Ed Spaliers make him this like dynamically disgusting person. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a good job. I don't really know what you're asking me right now, because I feel like I keep saying the same point.
No. You think they did him justice in terms of
I do.
Allowing him enough time?
And, I do. And
so, okay, great. All right, fair enough. Jasmine Cole on Instagram says,
I guess the point that I'm trying to say is, for those of you who don't know what's coming, and you might be sitting here saying like, wow, there's two episodes left and we just killed Bonnet. Yes, exactly. There are still two episodes left and we did just kill Bonnet. Mm-hmm. So have faith. Tune in on Sunday, because don't worry, there's still more coming.
S. Eliza B. on YouTube says, I understand that the show is the show and the books are the books, but this season they had so many little things that are from the books that they have not explained for show watchers. As a book reader, Mary, would you agree with that sentiment?
Well, yeah, but I think that it kind of either goes right over show watchers' heads.
Sure.
And it's just there for the book readers, and we can be like, ooh, I like that little nugget of something. Oh my gosh, there's going to be such an amazing nugget of something in this episode coming up.
And the fact that Diana is writing the next episode.
Oh yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Is a big fracking deal. So, yeah, so that'll be there. Okay, so what do we got here? We got Jasmine Cole on Instagram says, 5 kilts for me. I've not read the book, so I don't have any expectations of the storyline. This episode almost had me wondering, ooh, here's a great question, Mary, and I can't wait to get your response to this. If Brianna was really going to consider Bonnet's proposal, do you think at any point whatsoever, Brianna looked at him and said, yeah, you know, it ain't half bad.
No.
No, you don't think so?
No. She would have figured her way out of it sooner rather than later. Her, let's be real. I mean, Roger A. said he wanted to kill this man.
Yes.
But your dad's Jamie Fraser. Like she'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's go to River Run and pick out curtains. And Jamie Fraser's just going to be there and boom, like smack him
let's
down.
Go pick out curtains.
Look, oh. Yes. Because you know. She would have been like, it's what gentlemen do.
I think there was a moment of pause when Bonnet shows her the dolls. And I'm not saying that's when she's like, okay, I could do this. But there was
no.
just... No, there was a moment of pause.
And I think it was a moment of pause, like, oh my God, this guy actually did buy dolls. Like, that's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a moment there where she's like, oh, it's like a moment of, wow, this guy is actually serious. He's not just being weird.
No, it's not that this guy is serious. This guy's really crazy and he has a terrible choice in dolls. But yes, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he went so far as to buy dolls and bring them to his private island with his terrible mustard furniture.
So much mustard.
Terrible taste. Where's Lord John Grey when you need him? Give me an astrolabe.
You know what a couple of nice throw pillows would have done for that?
Whoever was Jocasta's interior designer needs to zhuzh the cabin up.
Give me some blue pillows just to go against the mustard yellow couch. I'll take that. Maybe even some purple. Throw some purple in there. Get some opposites of the color wheel happening. I'm all in.
I'm all set with mustard.
All right, what do you got for OutlanderCastClan.com? Remember, guys, go to OutlanderCastClan.com and you can get a bunch of cool perks, like special extra episodes of Mary and I and OutlanderCast that other, just the free version of OutlanderCast you don't get. You get a bunch of cool free swag. We do some giveaways there. We have some extra video messaging capabilities that you'll see later on. And when we do have a finale party, you'll get the VIP treatment. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on there. OutlanderCastClan.com. Go ahead, Mary.
Laura Beth Belcher from OutlanderCastClan.com says, Mary, I like it when you sing. I love it when you completely nerd out and break down what it is that you specifically like and dislike about music. Myself being tone deaf and beat deaf, it's a real thing. Truly enjoy listening to people who understand what they're listening to and talk about it. I could say, yeah, I like that, or not my jam, but I can never explain why, because I lack the basic knowledge of why something is good or something sucks, other than it makes me want to put ice picks in my ears when I know I don't like it. Hey, how about a Music with Mary breakdown podcast during Droughtlander, especially since we are out of lemonade? Aww. In a couple of weeks, my favorite podcast won't exist for a bit. It saddens me greatly. Blake here. Happy to hear that you're negative for COVID-19.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
So, Laura Beth Belcher, first and foremost, since you are a member of OutlanderCastClan.com, you, of course, will still be able to get our content as we're picking things back up.
Yep.
For extra podcasts for OutlanderCastClan members. But we got stuff up our sleeves.
We got the Crown podcast coming.
Don't you worry. We're going to keep podcasting.
We've even talked about still doing the After Dark episodes, continuing on. Normally we do it in season.
We're going to still be podcasting. So you'll be here with us.
We got a lot of things.
And in regards
going on.
To a Music with Mary breakdown, that might be fun to do once Bear's CD is out. CD. How old am I?
you mean his LP?
Yeah. The season 5 album is out.
Oh, man.
I love it. All right. Stephanie wrote
in. A bunch
in,
of people here saying they love the Music with Mary idea.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in.
Let's see. Stephanie wrote in on email saying one of the major themes in Outlander is fathers raising adopted children. Frank raised Bree. Reverend Wakefield raises Roger. Jamie raised Fergus. Lord John is raising Willie. Even though they aren't their biological children, each of these men took them in and loved them as their own. But Bonnet had to raise himself. Nobody taught him table manners or how to read. Nobody told him a bedtime story or even comforted him when he had bad dreams. Nobody has ever loved him. As Bree tells him about her little boy, you can see the recognition in her eyes that Bonnet is in many ways still one himself. Yes, he's a dangerous and violent sociopath, but he's also broken and afraid, terrified of drowning, haunted by being left to die, a child abandoned by his parents. So when Bree finally shoots him, she isn't just taking her power back and ending her nightmare. She's ending his as well. She, an adopted daughter, mother to a son whose father is unknown, gives the scared, unloved boy the only thing she can, compassion. I'll stay here.
Shout. Abso-freaking-lutely. Stephanie bringing the heat. Wow. Excellent stuff. Really, really, truly grateful stuff. You almost just killed our cat.
No, I didn't. I just made her go, makes me want to shout.
Yes. Yep.
I don't think she liked the
I don't think she
moves.
Liked that either. She's slowly walking away. For those of you listening on the podcast.
I'm not a monkey. I won't dance for you, Mom.
Our cat I'm usually cat. Joins us in the live podcasting experience. So unfortunately, you're missing out on that. But
cat dancing.
People watching us live, you can see there's some good cat dancing. All right. This one comes from Anna. She says, As I share, I'm doing so from the show watcher only standpoint. I feel you, Blake, and other show watchers only standpoint as well. But no worry, readers, I've read the book until this one, almost done with the fifth. As I sit and wonder what to really say, I can't help but to point out I felt like they rushed this episode. Like, I felt it was like the episode we got from when Murta passed. Then suddenly it was 3 months later. It felt too fast in similarity to that episode, from the episode of Murta death to the one after. I would have liked it better if we had like a half the episode about everyone going after Bonnet. Because everything that happened with Jamie at the end of the last episode too, oh, we're suddenly off to going after Bonnet now, it just didn't feel right. So I guess that's why I give it a 4.3 kilt. What do you think, Mary? I mean, do you think they rushed this episode? Do you think, or is there, I mean, you have, you know, some knowledge of what's coming, obviously, but do you think they could have gone another episode here and given us a little bit more?
There's no room with what they have planned.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, what do you got from Karen?
Okay, Karen wrote on in saying, does a villain in a story necessarily need to be a person? Or maybe a creature. I actually do not think that Stephen Bonnet is the villain of season 5 at all. Villainous as he most certainly was, I am not left wondering where do we go from here. So I am not left wondering where do we go from here now that he's been dealt with. I also wonder if the future, quote unquote, is an antagonist this season as well. I remember the way that Claire looked at the central monolith of the circle at Craig Nadun in the beginning of season 2, and it was more than just a look would give a hateful slab of stone. The future certainly seems to be more than just a source of ongoing conflict, and perhaps even engenders, how do you say that word?
Engenders.
I don't know that word.
That was good.
What does it even mean?
That was good.
Does it mean brings about?
Yes, essentially.
And perhaps it even brings about its own kind of underlining fear. Do you like that I just inserted that? If Jemmy can travel through the stones, what impact will that have for the family? Will Bree and Roger actually return? To what extent is Bree on board with returning, given that Roger is totally on board? While Claire seems on board-ish for healthy and safety reasons, Jamie is clearly not on board, at least until now, save it for being a necessity. But it could be a reality he will need to confront. I imagine fear, trepidation, and sadness. This even applies to the question of whether the future can be tampered with. Does Claire have the right to play with the future by bringing penicillin and other modern medical advances to the world where they don't belong? What are the unforeseen consequences of that, et cetera, et cetera? So Karen really wants to know, is the future the villain?
Well, I don't see a villain can literally be anything. It can be anything. It can be a shark. Think of Jaws. It can be a faceless shape. Think of Halloween. It can be.
What do you mean Halloween? Halloween. Michael Myers.
Yeah, he's a faceless shape. Michael Myers.
He's a crazy person who kills.
But what I'm saying is, like, the
blob.
Yeah, the blob, the mist, the mist.
Oh, that movie.
The mist.
Don't even.
Oh, that movie, the ending of that movie of the mist.
All set.
Is easily one of my favorite endings of all time. And it was totally changed from Stephen King's book. So
it's all good.
Cool.
Okay, so could the future be the villain?
I don't see the future being the villain. I see that being a character, not necessarily the villain, because it plays a part in the tension of what we're watching. Does it suggest that can Claire change the future itself? I think the show has already made its case that you cannot change the future. The future is what it is. And I think it's already made its case that what has happened in the past has always happened. It's always happened. And you know, for example, I mean, let's even talk about, I was reading about Roger hanging. You know, there was a couple of guys, or there was at least one guy that was unknown, that was hanging at the, after the Battle of Alamance. And so I'm not saying that it was Roger, but I'm saying within the canon of the universe, that person that was unknown is in fact Roger, Roger McKenzie. That's who it is. So within the framework of the universe, right? So I think history always happens, and it happens as it happens within the show. So do I see the future as the villain? No, I do not. But I do see it as a character and one that can play a significant role in how people act. Think about Roger talking to Jamie. You're not going to die because I know the future. I know.
It reminded me of Claire whispering in Blackjack's ear, like the day that he's going to die. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know when you're going to die.
Right.
Back to season. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, but again, it's something that is.
But it's still unknown. Like, they don't have quantifiable research saying, okay, we've gone back in time. We've done this like a million times. We can't change the future. There's still that like possibility. You know, they've only done, Claire's only gone back and forth once. Yep. You know, this is Bree and Roger's first time. So now you've got three people with their knowledge of the future in a very, very interesting time in the world, in the U.S. history. So, you know, they're just kind of paddling along. So I do love that idea. I think that the future and just whether it's the future tense that they came from or the future being the unknown is a really interesting point.
Listen here. Megan says maybe because Claire brought penicillin back, that it was actually invented at all. Anything they can do clearly has not changed the future. So anything Claire does was what was supposed to happen and shapes the 1900s reality as they know it. That's exactly what I'm saying. And this is when you can get a popsicle headache talking about time travel and what are the ripple effects and
the butterfly effect?
The butterfly effect and not the Ashton Kutcher variety. But, you know, when you talk about
this kind
of stuff.
That movie freaked me out.
I liked that movie a lot.
I don't like Ashton Kutcher being serious.
He was good in the movie Steve, not Steve Jobs. I think it was just Jobs.
I didn't watch that either because it was Ashton Kutcher being serious. That's and I true. Just can't take him seriously.
So you can get a popsicle headache talking about all this and you can kind of do that on your own time. I'm fine with that. But what I will say is, it seems like Claire is bringing in penicillin on a small level so that it wouldn't, and that's kind of indicative of the entire season so far. The stakes here for this season have been very small and very personal, which is something that I like. I like the fact that it's a personally touched episode. It's not as big as season two. Mm-hmm. The Mary and Blake commandment that it shall not be named. All right, this one comes from Julie. She says, "Hello, Mary and Blake from Victoria, Australia. I just finished watching episode 5:10, which I've given a massive 5 kilts. It has left me feeling quite haunted and wide awake, unable to even consider sleep, as a matter
of fact.
Take
a melatonin, hon.
Oh, so much melatonin. That or just drink 5 White Claws. You'll go right to bed. All those unanswered questions, my GBGs are as follows. Good were the costumes. All of the characters were rocking their coats, and I think Jamie's was even better than his dad's coat. My bad was that I think there was a lack of continuity and information going into the Wily's landing scene.
Yes.
I'm a book reader.
The continuity was so off. It was just like, boom, here we are.
Yeah, I will say that was kind of just like, you just had to accept it. Like, that's where they were.
They don't have the time.
I couldn't decide between my greats, Ulysses' endearing and heartfelt use of Jocasta's Christian name when he thought that he had lost her, or Roger's question to Bree in the final scene. I'm so glad she didn't answer him.
Agreed.
I can hear you now, Blake. Show us. Don't. Tell us.
Agreed.
Well done to you and Mary for bringing us so much joy. I look forward to your podcasts and discussions. Take me back to the magic of high school literature classes when we discussed books, discovered the imagery, the magic woven by authors. You have opened my eyes to what is possible in television and musical scores. Bravo and thank you.
Thank you, Julie. That was so sweet.
I know Mary was not a huge fan of the English lit classes where she had to talk about the motivations, what they actually meant.
Oh my God. You know what it was too? Is the teacher just didn't want to listen to me question. Why can't I just read Lord of the Flies? Why do I have to think about what it actually means rather than just kids on an island who are fighting? What do you mean I have to?
Didn't you say something about Animal Farm too?
No.
It wasn't Animal Farm. It was Lord of the Flies?
It was Lord of the Flies. And it was all about like the symbolism. And I was like, don't authors just write books to write books? Why does everyone have to like extrapolate all of this different meaning? And he was like, Mary, read the foreword. That's what the author did on purpose in this book.
That was the whole point.
He literally would say, oh, Mary. Like once a week, so much that my high school classmates, when they see me, they will still say it to me. Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Not my finest moment. And then, you know, the other famous thing I did in that class, too, is we acted out the Crucible. Just for, like, fun.
Did you really?
And I was the husband, the cheating husband. Everyone was like, what role do you want? I was like, give me the man that sleeps around. That's what I want. I want to just like do something crazy because I'm bored in this class and this teacher just goes, I'll marry.
We have a listener saying that just by saving lives, Claire is changing the future. No, that's not necessarily the case.
Because what if it always was? Because
it always happened. Claire always goes back in time, and Claire always saves that person's life.
Yes.
That's the idea behind it. Go back and watch Lost season 5. It'll explain it much better than I can.
Here we go.
All right, so we got some video messages. Remember, ladies and gents, this is our first video message of the season here. So remember, you can leave some video messages. We have video messaging capability. This one comes from Nadra. She is obviously one of our, I think she's one of our co-producers. And she has a video message. You can do
is
so
it the
too.
Top level?
No.
She's the top.
Oh, she's an executive producer. I apologize. Yeah. But from co-producers and up, you can leave video messages for us in the listener feedback episodes. And just go to OutlanderCastClan.com, become a co-producer or up, and you can leave some video messages for us. Let's get to it. Nadra, what do you got?
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Nadra from Lebanon, and this is my first time to try one of these videos, so I hope it goes okay. First, I want to say that after having watched 508, I thought I had found my defining episode for season 5, but lo and behold, last night proved me wrong. Another 5+ for me, this one, and my good, great, and best are going to be divided into more than one thing. So my good is the way the episode made me feel. Caught me, grabbed me, had my heart racing. I almost felt like I was going to have a heart attack. And also the ending. Having no answer to that question, wow. My great was the juxtaposing of the two storylines, the men going in one direction after Bonnet and the women going in another direction for fun. And yet we were always feeling like something was about to happen to the women, though it was supposed to be fun and nice. But my all-time best was Sophie Skelton's facial work, that acting with that face. Oh my goodness.
Yes, yes.
And of course, have to add a bit for Roger here. Those punches that he gave Bonnet.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, I hope this works out and have a great one.
Thank you.
Nadra worked perfect. Thank you so much.
Nadra, thank you. That was so great. Oh, Blake, great call on like pimping out the studio so that we can't have our video responses. It just makes it so much more fun and dynamic.
Just say it.
You're Batman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I can't help it. I need like a Batman sound. I need a Batman sound. You know, who do you work for? You know, that kind of whole.
You know what I do want?
Swear to me.
I'm pivoting, by the way. I want to get, remember how we found that scratch off map where we could like scratch off states or countries or whatever?
Yes.
I want to do that for our Outlander Cast listeners and see how many different countries we have Outlander Cast listeners from around the world.
I can actually tell you, I can tell you every single country we have listeners from.
Really?
Yeah, I have it within our statistics.
Well, I would like people to still let us know.
That's true. I absolutely
that would be
tell
fun.
Us. That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that was our video message again. Of course, thank you so much to Nadra for being a part of it.
Completely agree with everything she said. Too.
I agree. Well, all right, we got some voicemails here.
Let's tune on in.
All right, let's do it.
Headphones are on.
Let's see if we got some Hall of Fame callers coming in. All right, let's see what we got.
Howdy, Blake and Mary. This is Michael from Shawnee, Kansas, and I will give episode 510 a kilt rating of 4.5.
Nice. Okay.
Overall, it was a good adaptation. I just have a problem with two scenes. First, the demise of Geralt Forbes. To me, Jocasta was portrayed as clueless and not as a Mackenzie. Am I to believe that Joe was actually giving away all that money and completely unaware of Forbes' emotions? This exchange would have been more believable to me if Joe had heard some rumors of Forbes' association with Bonnet and was deliberately goading him into revealing his hand. Second, Bree's rescue. It was lame. The rescue party coming over the sand dune just in time as Bree is about to
just
be whisked away to sea only serves to elevate from plausible to confirmed Jamie and Claire's reunion on the beach in episode 311 Uncharted, mm-hmm. with Claire arriving on the beach just in time to signal Jamie with a mirror. Now, let's talk about Bree and Claire's encounter with Bonnet on the beach at Wilmington. Mm. While I do believe the show's adaptation was a good decision, I will nonetheless lament on what we will not see. In book 5, Reed does indeed shoot Bonnet. Mm-hmm. Her abduction and being brought to Bonnet's bungalow on Ocracoke actually happens in book 6. What we will not see is that Bree did not shoot to kill. She only meant to maim or seriously injure. She aimed at his crotch and fired. The result was that she shot off one of his testes.
Well,
oh, I love it.
Michael, thank you so much. We have a bunch of people here saying that stats are for nerds. Yes, stats are for nerds. I will go to my dying day saying that stats are for nerds. So yes, you are all right. Talking about where we can get, you know, our listeners from all the different countries.
Oh, okay. I could see Mary was like, what stats are we talking about? We're talking about blown off testes. Like, I don't really know what we're talking about. Okay, yes.
But Michael did bring up a great point, and I want to mention this, which is the coincidence of it all.
Yeah. It's called television.
Yeah.
Let's be real. If coincidences, like, that's it. That's how books, that's how shows happen. That's how life is sometimes. You know, when you sit there and you go, wow, what are the chances? What are the chances that we bump into each other? You don't anymore.
Yeah,
oh,
So,
get it? Because we can't bump into anybody anymore. Oh. Poor example, but you know what
I
mean?
Oh, man. All right, so Michael brings up a great point about the coincidence of it all.
Nice pivot.
Yes. Thank you very much, by the way. We call that a big league pivot. Yeah. Yes. But Outlander has lived in this realm of coincidences, and he just brought it up with the whole thing with the mirror and Jamie.
Yeah.
And all, like, Outlander has made no qualms with the fact that its language includes these kinds of coincidences. And that is something that drove me freaking bananas in season 3. Season 3, like, almost broke me. It almost broke me. It was very close. Even season 4 kind of was on this train,
mm-hmm.
but I've accepted it. I've accepted it as that's part of the DNA of Outlander. The DNA of Outlander just lives within this world where coincidences like this happen constantly. They just happen to get there in time while she's being pushed off to the boat with this other captain.
It's a show. It has to fit it all in. Just happens.
Yeah, sure. And I think another thing, too, here is that the direction of the final confrontation, I think, was a tad off. It was hard to see who was where, what they were doing. And I will agree, it felt a little tad anticlimactic. I will go there with that one. But so that's that. All right, let's get the next one.
Hello, it's Alyssa calling from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Hey, Alyssa.
Well, I'm calling immediately after finishing Mercy Shall Follow Me. This was epic. I knew that it was coming up to this.
It's hard to say.
From The Ballad of Roger Mack, the last couple of episodes on have all been so good, but this is the 5+.
Mm-hmm.
Even my husband, who's a pretty harsh grader, he gave it a 5.
Woo!
So we are so happy with this episode. We can't think of a single bad in it. I love Stephen Bonnet.
Yes.
I might even say I think I like him better as a villain than Blackjack Randall.
Oh!
For the sole reason that he's extremely attractive.
He's so sexy.
He is so damn good looking.
He really is.
Started to sympathize with him.
Oh.
And he was talking about himself being an orphan. And then I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen, girl, you got to slow your roll. Don't sympathize with the villain. Ulysses taking charge.
Yes.
That was incredible. I was so happy that he took charge, killed that greasy Weasley Forbes guy. The fact that Jamie gave Roger the room to do what he wanted with it was so good as well.
Agreed.
I'm glad that Roger got to, you know, get ahead of him. He got to make decisions. And then, of course, Bree being the final executioner.
Boom.
Amazing episode. Best of the season by far.
Woo.
Probably one of the best episodes of Outlander ever. So happy with this.
Yay.
Alyssa, you keep bringing it, girl. You call as much as you want.
Can
I love
say
this.
It Saskatchewan? Is that how we say it?
Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Or Saskatchewan, whatever. Sure. Whatever.
See, we can't say it. It's a tongue twister.
Listen, we have to give a belated You're a Wizard, Harry.
You're a Wizard, Harry.
To Michael for quoting Dobby. in his voicemail.
Oh,
sorry. So I apologize. Michael was here. He corrected me. He's in our chat right now.
He does.
Michael, I apologize. Thank you very much for calling me out on that.
Thank you, Michael.
Melissa, you know what? Bling. I kind of like it. I kind of like the idea of sympathizing with the villain here. I love that kind of stuff. When you can feel like that, you know that the writers, at least in your case, have done a good job.
It helps that he's just like so freaking sexy.
He's an attractive man.
Ugh.
He's your boy Jimmy is an attractive man.
He's got a cute bum.
He does have a cute bum. It's like, you think they know that he had a cute bum, so like, hey, Jimmy, get over there.
He's probably really good at Zumba. Like, I'm never really good at the pelvic thrust movements when I've done the Zumba class, when I used to do Zumba.
Oh.
And I'd have to be in the back row, because I thought that's what my bum would look like when I would move it, and it does not.
Someone here says, Blake, we need a Big League Pivot shirt. I might do that. Big League Pivot?
Like Big League Chew?
No, like it's a big league, you know, like, you know, that's a professional pivot.
I know.
It's like, a big league pivot.
Yeah. Could you make it in the font of Big League Chew?
Ooh. Okay. Now you're talking.
How much could you go for that right now? Just a big old bag of that shredded up gum that tastes like crap in 5 minutes?
No. The grape is perfect. There is no better gum on this planet than Grape Big League Chew.
I've never done Grape Big League Chew.
Are you serious? Have you only done the pink varieties?
Yeah.
Oh, the pink ain't got nothing on the grape.
I know. The pink is like that yellow gum that comes in a big bucket, and you're like, yeah, I love this. It's really hard and runs out of flavor in 3 seconds.
No. Don't mess around with the bubble gum flavor. Don't even bother.
And the Big League Pink kind of falls apart after a while. It kind of disintegrates.
Yeah, and I don't like the watermelon one either.
Yeah.
The watermelon one is garbage. It's all garbage.
Maybe we could find it on Amazon. We'll just sit on our porch blowing bubbles.
As a matter of fact, I think I have Great Big League Chew in our room. I think I have it. I think I might have it.
What?
I might have it. I had a store, like a whole like case of it for a while.
We need to
All right, let's get the next one going
because I know what I'm doing later.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Eliza from Atlanta, Georgia. I give episode 5, 10, 4 kilts.
Oh, hold on. Sorry. I gotta play it because, you know, Eliza. Here comes the General of Washington. All right. Continue on, Eliza. Sorry.
Outlander is like my mom's pumpkin pie.
Ooh.
I look forward to it all year. It's home. It's family. And there's no substitute. Mm. The moments they share are like the slices. And they keep giving me the diet slice. I can't have the whole pie. I get to share it with you. And if I eat the whole pie, it would make me sick.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going to give me a slice, then I need to be satisfied. And it makes no sense why they would leave out simple things like Roger's inability to shoot, giving a tedious explanation for the uses of seashells, instead of what she really needs is some perfume for her putrid surgery.
Mm.
I wonder if show watchers will understand why Bonnet didn't rape Bree again. Also, why Claire and Jamie didn't just tell the brothel owner that she was going to treat the women and subtly ask for Bonnet. Storming into a business that stays afloat specifically because of Bonnet's purse and then demanding that they would give him up is crazy. As crazy as anyone who would try to hurt Jocasta when Ulysses is there.
Mm-hmm.
All of these diet slices are like the year my mom forgot to put the sugar in.
Oh.
The editing of Bonnet's death was choppy as the water. All of the costumes are great, besides Jamie's coat. The acting was great, the sets were amazing, and the 1001 Arabian Nights version of Moby Dick sent me off the wall. It was so funny. I was rolling around on the floor laughing. Anyway, thanks. Until next time. Slange.
Eliza.
Thank you, Eliza. You know what's so funny? She didn't like Jamie's coat. And then there was a previous person who said they like Jamie's coat better than his dad's coat.
That's amazing. That's amazing
to
me.
That is people feel so differently about things, and I love it. And that's why I love the listener feedback episode.
What did you think about Bonnet's death? And not the shooting part, but the montage of
yelling and water.
Yeah, like switching to scenes and this and that, and then going and like, what do you think about that? Would you just have liked him just a straight stick with it? And because I kind of agree, having it dissolve and fade in and out of it, it's.
I mean, it showed that people like time was passing. More and more people kept leaving, but. I don't know. I mean, it was fine. It didn't strike me. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know. It worked for me. This episode really worked for me.
Sure. I got it. Okay, let's get the next one.
Hi, guys. It's Constance from Maryland.
Hi, Constance.
I am just so excited about this last episode, episode 510. I cannot say enough about the acting. Wow, that Ed Spaliers.
Yes.
What a brilliant actor.
Agreed.
And really, I think all of the cast, this season especially, has just really, really just brought it to the top. I really liked how the whole episode was really just focused on Stephen Bonnet. At first, I didn't think I was going to like that, but it really worked well. And having read all of the books a couple times and being a bit of the book nerd where I like the storyline to stick with the book, I do think that they have done a great job with the keeping with the content. And there's so much content from the book. I just think they've done a great job. 5 kilts from me. Thank you. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, Constance. Great job. Good job. I like it. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi, guys. It's Sharon calling from Chicago.
Hi, Sharon.
I'm going to give this episode a 4.5, which I think is pretty generous.
Wow.
Several things that I really detested about this episode.
Okay, what do you got?
And the main thing is that there were so many plot points that just sort of were hard to believe. And like, for instance, the tiny little cushion that Pippin tried to use to smother Jocasta. Pippin is about as big as a minute, and Jocasta is no invalid, so the thought that he could put a little silk toss pillow over her head, all she had to do was stand up. So, and then the servant snapping her neck like he did, his neck like he did, just seemed so ridiculous. I also didn't like all the jet packing around. So like Claire's at the beach and then the next scene we see her galloping up and somehow meeting Jamie and the guys on the road. How the heck did that happen? And then how did they get to save Bree on the island right as she's walking out with some guy that apparently she was sold to, which I didn't get either, because why would your man Jimmy want to sell her? I thought he needed her to get to Jimmy. I just didn't get it. I did like the end. Thought that was a good way to do it. And I liked the conversation between Bree and Stephen Bonnet. Mm. That was about it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sharon. Sharon brings up a lot of great points here. Like, how did they know exactly where to go on the beach to find, like, were they just trolling the entire island to find the exact point that Bree was going to be at?
She must have told them. Maybe there was.
How is she going to tell
them?
They
saw the boat.
It's not like she's
they
got.
They saw a boat. The captain's boat was there.
She doesn't have Facebook Messenger.
The captain's boat was there with the little rowboat. So as they were probably coming in, they were like, well, there's a boat and there's where people are parking.
There's the house. The house is, in fact, on.
Yeah, and it's quite
on
big.
The coast. It's quite. It's. That's. Sorry.
That's what she said.
Jeffrey, get out of here. Come on. Get the. No, no. You're not allowed in here, Jeffrey. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
You got it.
Jeffrey Hirsch. He comes in here every once in a while. I try to stop him. The nerds down the hall, they don't have any power against him. But, you know, she brings up some great points.
Yeah.
And when you're writing a show, you try your best to.
Does that make sense, Blake? There's a big boat. They saw the big boat.
Yeah, but there's other things that she brings up here too. I think for the most part, we just have to accept it.
It's a show. We can just glaze
over
it.
I know, but these details are the difference between like all-time great shows and shows that we enjoy. These details.
No, I think it's lack of time. And I think that, you know, I think if you want all the details, yes, we can read the books. And I know that you don't love when people say that, Blake, but like we can read the books and we only are given this much time.
Sure.
Everyone who loves Outlander, who's creating Outlander, is fighting as much as they can for the time. So.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's get the next one.
Yo, it's Janine from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Janine.
Close call there with the Rona, Blake.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we had so much
fun watching this episode. We were screaming all over the place. First things first, Claire finally got that syringe made.
Yes.
Girl, make like half a dozen and make sure this doesn't happen again.
Seriously.
And you know what I really missed in this episode? Murta.
I know.
Seeing Bree and Claire at the beach by themselves, you know Jamie would have sent Murta if he could.
Yes.
And we need John Quincy to step up as like a bodyguard because these ladies need supervision.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie Skelton and Ed Spaliers gave an incredible performance this episode. I really couldn't tell what Bonnet's motivation was. My only criticism was for Bree. Stop turning your back on Bonnet, girl. Their dinner party scene gave me like Pirates of the Caribbean vibes. Ooh, I was just waiting for Bonnet to step into the moonlight and turn into a skeleton. And of course, we all sang Beauty and the Beast when she started reading to Bonnet. Girl memorized Moby Dick like a champ.
Seriously.
One interesting thing was that Bree learned about Bonnet's fear of drowning. And I think that was the main motivation that led her to shoot him at the end. As a mother, she couldn't let him live out his nightmare. And oh my goodness, Fancy Pippin is dead.
I
thought for sure he was just going to forge the will, not try to kill her.
Crazy.
You'd think a blind lady would have heard his tone a little bit better. But hey, in the end, Ulysses is the real MVP.
Amen.
Well, that's it for me. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Janine. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, I kind of like that idea. If Forbes just written whatever the hell he wanted to write.
Yeah. Banana pancakes. You know, he was making a shopping list. Flour.
Need some flour.
Please. You know. Can we find some freaking flour? Blake made cookies.
With bread flour. And I didn't realize it.
Because he used all the regular flour. Blake has this like journey where he likes to make the same cookie and he keeps messing it up.
I don't keep messing it up.
Yes, you do.
No. Blake. I lost the recipe.
Blake went on this quest to figure out how to make the best chocolate chip cookies. And he tried and he found it. And they're like perfect. They're like harder on the outside, yet soft in the middle, and like a little dome shape. And they're
Jeffrey, I told you to go.
And then he's done it a few times correctly, and then it somehow goes the wrong way. Whether
there's too much sugar, the butter's not enough,
or like the butter's cold. It's supposed to be, we don't really know. We don't know. Sometimes he hits out the ballpark, sometimes they're flat like pancakes. And they're gross. So Blake has been going on this cooking spree, this baking spree of trying to make his world famous. He calls them their world famous cookies, and they are not good half the time. And he made them, but the day that we found out that you were negative, he was like, today's the day, gotta make my world famous cookies. I've got them down this time. I figured it out. Little did he know that he ran out of our regular flour. Okay, I didn't know that Blake was using so much flour. And then he just like used my bread flour and he made the cookies. He was like, oh yeah, these look right. These look good. And then he bit it. And he was like, something's not right. Something's not right with this cookie. And it was bread flour. And it does taste different. And now we're on this hunt for flour.
Can't get flour. Can't buy flour anywhere around here. The hell's up with freaking coronavirus?
It's a plague.
Freaking coronavirus. Go get your shine box, Corona.
But right. We do have bread flour.
We do have we got plenty of bread flour. Should have known.
It's a different bag. It says bread flour. It's not like I had it in a can.
I saw the bag. I saw flour. I was.
You were just so excited because you thought you figured it out.
I wanted to make my world famous cookies. I had it. It was perfect.
We've been craving cookies ever since.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Kathy from Cleveland. Well,
hey, Kathy.
Let's all raise a glass to the memory of Stephen Bonnet.
Cheers.
And pray for his immortal soul. Evil as you were gone too soon, Stephen. Slunge.
Yes.
I'm giving this episode 4.8 kilts. My good? I'm really impressed with how they condensed two different plot lines that are hundreds of pages apart in the books and produced a compact, cohesive episode. As a book reader, I absolutely didn't see it coming, and it was awesome. My bads are all piddly stuff that isn't worth talking about. And as a wise man once said, stats are for nerds.
Stats are for nerds.
So let's move on to my grade. I took a very different view than most people about what Bonnet was doing with Brianna. I firmly believe he was playing her all along. He needed her out of the way to get to Jemmy. And why do away with her when he can make some coin selling her? Clearly he had a buyer already lined up before he got to Ocracoke.
Right.
He's a completely different kind of villain than BJR, but I believe they have one thing in common. They like to play with their toys, and that's what he was doing.
Yes.
It's a testament to the incredible acting ability of Ed Spaliers that what he was doing was so unclear and interpreted so differently by different fans. But I think we can all agree that he can play a manipulative sociopath that can mimic emotions better than just about anyone we've seen in a long time. Can't wait for next week. Bye, guys.
Bye, Kathy. Thank you so much. I kind of like that. And as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, he must have had this buyer lined up the entire time. Must have.
No, exactly. He was just going to take any woman off the street. That's why he was being a creep, looking for a flaxen-headed maid. Oh, I know who that one is.
I like it. Kathy, you brought it. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Lauren from Adelaide, Australia.
Hi.
First time calling in. Thank you so much for keeping the podcast going. Aww. The Outlander episodes and your podcast are such a lovely escape from everything COVID-19 going on at the moment. I think maybe it's been suggested before, and I would love to hear you podcast, Mary, during the off season on the major plot differences between the book and the show. I read the first three books, but I don't reckon I'll have the time to read any more of them anytime soon. And I find it really interesting to hear how the show has changed storylines, timing, and characters around. So just wanted to throw that out there. I'd love to hear that.
It's a lot of changes. As for
this week's episode, I quite enjoyed it, although it did feel as though everything to do with Stephen Bonnet was finalised a little too neatly with two episodes to go. I'd really love to find out a little more about the supposed death of Jamie and Claire in the house fire before season's end. Surely that needs to be considered before Brianna and Roger and Jemmy go back to the future, if indeed they do go back. Love your work. Take care. Bye for now.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for calling. And we will see. I will say that I know that times are crazy, but listening to the audiobooks is a great way, even if you are busy with everything going on right now. I would highly encourage you to give it a listen. To continue with the journey of the books. We will see. I've often thought about having like a show watcher discussion. It comes down a lot to the fact that I'm never without my children, aside from like the few nights that I get to podcast with Blake. And if you're obviously listening on a podcast right now because you're in Australia. Oh, actually, you might be up right now. It might be in the morning for you.
Yeah, sure.
You might be joining us live. But one of mine is up right now. So it's a little hard for me to find more time to do more podcasts.
Trust me, we would love to. If we could, if we had our babysitters, it'd be a different story.
But, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, the COVID's here. We got the COVID. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi, it's Marsha from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Marsha.
Marsha.
I give episode 10 a 4.95 kilts. My good Roger open a can of whoop-ass Mackenzie, woo-hoo! Avenging his wife, his father-in-law being so supportive and not interfering. My bad, the gentrified Stephen Bonnet. I miss the slurring Jack Sparrow-esque pirate. And that Irish accent was awful. I don't think that it was intentional because he was out of his element. But for me, it fell flat. You know, it's like putting lipstick on a pig.
Yep, yep.
But my great Brianna, I love Sophie Skelton's range and her portrayal from carefree on the beach with her mom to that vulnerable kidnapping part to that very strong, independent female that took care of business and, you know, not having to explain whether it was mercy or justice. I have an outlandish theory, though. You know, someone was talking about how Frank...
Hold on. We got to play it. All right, here we go.
Frank had prepared Bree for living in this century. I wonder if that was because he knew Claire was going back. Anyways, but thank you guys for all you do. This podcast has been such a wonderful respite in these troubling times. You guys take care. Stay healthy. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love this outlandish theory. Part of me thinks that Frank did know that Claire was going back. Like part of me thinks that he found something, you know, from the Reverend that found something that Claire was back there. And he's like, I know that she's going
back. He knew a guy who knew a guy.
Can you please,
while he's in Boston,
can you please talk for the rest of the episode in your Jeffrey Hirsch accent? Your Jeffrey Hirsch voice is premium. Hey, I don't know. These ladies, they see it. And they, you know, they like the eye candy, if you get what I mean. Hey.
And I told you, I'm pretty sure he's from Rhode Island.
He definitely is. Yo, he's the premium woman category. Go back and listen to our roast of Jeffrey Hirsch, the COO, now the CEO of Stars. It's one of my favorite episodes that we've ever done.
I'm pretty sure he listened to.
He definitely did.
Because he definitely
we ran into him at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
And he saw Mary wearing her premium woman shirt, literally looked directly into her eyes. Made eye
contact. He was like smiling, talking to somebody, made eye contact with me, made eye contact with my shirt, and like, nerd.
It was the best. Oh, man, I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to get a picture of him with him in the worst way, but he ran away.
He ran away.
He couldn't get away from us fast enough.
He's like, there are those Rhode Islanders who made me have a New York accent in a terrible way.
Hey, get what I'm saying?
The premium woman.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, the ladies like the eye candy. No, Mary, it's your version's the best, please.
Okay.
Just for our edification. Just give it to me. Give me something.
The ladies like the eye candy. You know, they like it. So, you know, they'll pay to watch it because it's eye candy. They like it. Like when they wear kilts, you know, so their knees and stuff show. Sometimes they like take off a shirt. I don't know. We tell Sam Heumann he has to like wash himself once a season. I don't get it, but the ladies like that kind of stuff.
They like the dirty
look.
Those
premium women love that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's the best. Oh, that is the best. All right. Let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. Katie Valentine here.
Hey, Katie.
Coming in with a thought about this episode, which I thought was an excellent episode. One of the things I enjoyed was the intentional shift, I hope it was intentional, mm-hmm. from the male gaze that has pervaded this season to the female gaze. One of the continuous struggles with this season is that it has focused on Jamie and Roger's experience of Bree's trauma. Mm-hmm. It's been driving me crazy, honestly. Finally, in this episode, with her really complex interactions with Bonnet and shooting him in the end, which was just a great scene yeah. for her, mm-hmm. we get her perspective, her experience, her processing her own trauma, doing it in her way without having to worry about how it's affecting all the men in the show so much. Now, my question, and I'd be curious what your thoughts are around this, has the show done this intentionally? Have they intentionally put the emphasis on on Jamie and Roger's experience and having them be kind of jerks about this a lot of the time so that we could get back to Bree? Or has this been an unconscious thing that the show has done, which society does all the time, to make a woman's experience about how it affects the men in her life and not just her? We've gotten to see actually only glimpses of sort of Bree's processing through the art, through some other comments of her own experience.
Yeah.
Couldn't ask for more at the end when she shoots Bonnet. If only Roger hadn't spoken after that, it would have been a perfect scene.
Wow. You know, oh, goodness. And that's why I said, you know, here she is. She got to shoot him. And I'm wondering if after all the trauma of being kidnapped and brought to the island, if she's going to have to now deal with it, you know, in the future. Because you're right. I mean, she... It's been about everyone else planning this from her. I think it was great that we did get to see her with the drawings and processing it, but very, very interesting take. Very, very interesting take. So we do want to take a quick moment to remind you that today is Sam Heumann's birthday, the day that we are recording this, April 30th. He is a Taurus, just like the character that he plays, James Fraser, and just like myself. My birthday's coming up. Cinco de Mary. You can play the next voicemail, Blake.
So many tacos. I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right. Last voicemail. You ready for this, Marvin?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Hi, this is Claire from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Hey, Claire.
I'm giving episode 510 a kilt rating of 4.7.
Okay.
Instead of a good, bad grade, I would just like to make a couple of comments. One is, I think that John Gary Steele's set for Bonnet's house was absolutely outstanding. Mm. It looked exactly like something Bonnet, a mm-hmm. guy who wants to be a gentleman but really has no idea how to go about it,
yep.
would come up with. Some of the pieces were garish, like the bed. Other pieces were nice, but in general it was cluttered. He had books lying around. He had china in various places. Nothing was pulled together. And it just looked exactly like Bonnet was making a desperate attempt to give himself some credibility and look like he belonged in society.
Mm.
I'm also glad, as a show watcher, that they ended Bennett's story now instead of making us wait until season 6. I feel like his presence has been an axe hanging over our heads the entire season and just always waiting to see what bush is he going to leap out from behind and what's going to happen with him. I'm kind of glad that tension is gone so that we can focus now on whatever else is coming up. I'm also glad that Bree freed herself from her own living nightmare mm-hmm. by killing Bonnet. In the process, she saved him from living his own nightmare out and showed some mercy. Her character has developed a lot in the last few episodes, and now that she's free of the fear that Bonnet was coming for her and Jemmy, I expect she will really come into her own now. I'm excited to see.
Oh, looks like she got cut off. Oh, man, I'm sorry, Claire. That sucks. You got clawed off.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's the end of it. Allison Fisher here on Facebook, she says, it would have been brilliant to just have Bree shoot Bonnet and then just walk away. No more dialogue. Nothing. Just Bree, put the gun down, look at Roger, and walk away. Do you like that ending better, or do you like Roger...
I like Roger asking because.
Well, before you answer, do you like? Do you
too late?
No. Before you answer, do you think Roger asking the question is just pandering to the audience?
I think Roger asking is the audience. He is us because we're left to think like, do they talk about on the way home? Does she talk with him later?
Yep.
You know, but by doing this, we are left to make our own assumptions.
Sure. Part of me. Loves the idea of Bree just shooting the guy, Roger looking at her, and then like her like stepping out of frame and then black, you know, like just cut, boom, no fade, no dissolve.
Either would have worked, but
either would have worked. Yeah. I think I would have chosen that route than Roger asking the question. But that's the kind of viewer that I am. I want to ask that question
myself.
I'd be myself.
Like, did he ask her?
Yeah, right. So I think it works for anybody who wants it to work. So that's that. All right, Marvin, you got anything else you want to say about this episode?
I'm just thrilled to watch 5/11. We're going to watch the trailer for it, right?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. I'll bring it up right now. Why don't you vamp for me?
I'm really excited to be watching 5/11 this week. We are, of course, heading into the penultimate episode, the second to last episode of season 5. This is going to be a very exciting episode, and it's a little nostalgic, but I'm a little emotional because we originally thought that May 3rd, this Sunday, was going to be the finale, and we had all these grand plans of like getting people together and doing a finale party, and it's the week of my birthday, and of course, we learned that most likely the finale was going to be May 10th, which it is. It's going to be on Mother's Day, but also, you know, we can't be all getting together in person in Rhode Island, so we are still making plans. We'll have those final in the very near future. I do appreciate your patience about what we'll be doing for a virtual finale. It's not going to be extravagant, I must tell you that. It will not be like crazy, but it will be something fun, and we can share and revel in Outlander in the finale together. I can assure you of that. And I do want to let you know, as Blake and I said earlier, we are going to continue to podcast through quarantine, through Droughtlander. We are going to be podcasting about other topics that bring us joy, that we're very interested in. So we're discussing those topics now. We are also going to be talking with the members of OutlanderCastClan.com. If you're not a member there yet, please know that a contribution, even of as little as $2 a month at OutlanderCastClan.com, keeps us going, especially in times like this. It really, really means so very much to us in these trying times. So if you are fiscally able to, we appreciate it. If you are not in a position right now, just know that you're listening and you're supporting us with hitting a share button or letting people know that you listen to our podcast means the world. People truly listen to podcasts by hearing about it from other friends. So without further ado, we're going to...
Well, actually, before we get into it, people have been asking me left and right about the quarantine shirts that I'm making for our potential live finale party that we're like a virtual finale party that we'll be doing. I'm making the final touches on my design.
Will they make it in time?
Oh yeah, they'll make it in time. If I get it up tomorrow and you buy them tomorrow or the next day, whatever, you'll be able to get them into your house in time. So what I'm hoping to do is get everybody to wear them at the same time so we can all wear them together and have
fun.
I'll probably have the design up for tomorrow, and then you'll be able to get them. All right, so now let's watch the preview for 5/11 Journey Cake is the name. Okay, nice. Here we go.
Ulysses, have you given any thought to where you might go next?
Not that I'm a murderer.
Yep, you are.
The mood in the American colonies.
Oh, it's all John. All right.
We have had word of violent attacks.
We can protect ourselves.
I feel a storm coming.
Stay there, Martin. What happened? What? What?
Oh! Oh!
What's the meaning of this?
Oh! Wow.
Let's watch it again and pause.
All right, we'll break it down. Okay.
So now Diana Gabaldon has written episode 511. She's written this episode.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Ulysses, have you given any thought to where you might go next?
Okay,
not
first
off, I'm a murderer.
Yes, you're a murderer, yes, but it's okay, Ulysses. Like, chill out. You're gonna be fine. How awkward do you think he feels heading into that shack that he knows that Jocasta and Murtaugh slept in the last time it was used?
Wait, what?
Yeah, rewind. Doesn't it look like he's heading into, like...
Sorry.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Doesn't it look like the Rumpy Pumpy Shack? Love Shack! Love Shack, babe! Look at that.
Have you given any...
Yeah, that's the Jocasta Rumpy Pumpy Shack.
He's, like, uncomfortable, probably sitting on that bed.
He's like, ugh, thank God they don't have black lights. All right, here we go.
Thought to where you might go next.
Now that I'm a murderer.
Poor thing.
The mood in the American...
All right, Lord John in this in this frame.
The mood. Oh, you can just set the mood just by saying that. The mood.
So much mood happening right now.
Yes.
And it's the sexy kind of mood.
Look at him giving her a hug.
Oh, yeah. Giving Bria a hug.
They're besties, man.
Or is that Roger? Is
that Roger?
That might look like Roger.
I'm trying to see if there's a ponytail
bow. But you know what? There he is. There's your boy.
Yeah.
The mood.
There's your boy, Lord John, with opposites of the color wheel here, blue and yellow. Blue and orange is really the opposite of the color wheel. But this is orangey with
and
the
teal.
Oh, so much teal happening.
It's the ridge. It's the Fraser's house.
Lord John is there, and I just have to say.
Say it out loud.
So pale.
So pale. So vampy.
Vampire.
So glistening. So, like, if he goes, you know when he goes out into the sun, he glistens like diamonds.
I mean, his hair does. Look at that. Schlacked on.
In the American colonies goes dark by the day.
Okay, so we got.
I got Claire, Bree, and Ian
talking together.
Oh, and look at the seasons have changed.
There we go.
There's some foliage. Right, I'm glad to see this time has visually passed.
I'll take it.
We have had word of violent attacks.
Go back. These jabronis.
All right. These guys, the Brownsville guy. We got some burned down cottages. Bree
not great.
And Claire are there. Jamie's looking at this bad boy. Some people are dead. This don't look good.
We can protect ourselves.
Oh yeah, Ian's like,
I feel a storm coming.
Ooh. Only two. What do you got?
Oh well, I was just saying we got Jamie in the house.
Yeah.
So maybe he's the one having that conversation with Lord John Grey.
Right.
What happened?
Okay, who's coming in?
Yeah, I love this shot of Jamie running.
How difficult
literally
do you think it
running.
Was? You know, there's like divots and holes in the ground and tufts of grass.
You don't want them to pop an
and
ACL.
They're like, Sam, just go. Like you're being chased by the Tiger King and all of his tigers.
Well, like,
go.
What is happening? What is happening to make him run to this cross? Like, something bad is happening, and I look forward to seeing what happens. I can't wait. Why is he running? Why is he risking?
Why is he running?
Pulling a hammy to get to this cross to light
it's
on fire.
It's dark out. Like, watch out. Watch your step, man.
Yeah, like, this all happens in the middle of the night. Look at it. It is dark. It's dark. It's wicked.
And it's
dark
like a cliff right there. Yeah. Like, you got to be careful.
You could fall. What if there's erosion?
Jamie has night vision. King of men.
That's it. That's my new shirt. Jamie with a pair of night vision goggles. That is it. You're welcome, ladies and gents. That's it.
Well, you might have to wait till 5:11 actually airs. Oh, did you see that?
I did.
What's the meaning of this?
Oh, some dude just getting stabbed, straight up stabbed. All right, let's see who it is. All right, so it's a guy wearing a red coat, but this looks like one of the Brownsville's like log carriers. That's what it feels like to me. And they're going into the surgery. This might be a red shirt who gets stabbed. Hold on.
This is
a log carrier.
Who is that?
That's a log carrier. The hair. It's not Roger. It's definitely not Jamie. It's a log carrier. That's all it is.
Just a nobody.
It's a nobody.
Oh my God.
That's it. But he gets stabbed
by... But still, there's a good ah.
There's a Brownsville log carrier.
Sounds like an ah that I care about.
There's a Brownsville log carrier stabbing a Ridge log carrier. So the
stakes
aren't
that. So you're saying it's a nobody stabbing a nobody.
Yeah, it's a nobody stabbing a nobody. So
at least you think.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, here we go.
Ah! I love how that's how they leave you.
All right, so that's that. All right. All right. Well, that is that. Okay, so that's the end, ladies and gents. Mary, I know we're an hour and 23 into this bad boy.
We've got to go.
We got to get going because our kid is...
Our little lass is up.
Our little lass is demanding that she watch more Rescue Riders.
Oh, it's such a good Dragons. Show. Oh, it's so good.
All right, well, let's close this bad boy out. Let's get it done. You ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Want to thank all of you for taking the time while you're home with your loved ones, hopefully staying safe, listening to us. And seriously, if you could just take a moment and share this podcast, whether you share the video, whether you share a screenshot in your stories and tag us, letting your friends know about Outlander helps spread the Outlander fandom, helps more people learn about it. But it also, if you share about Outlander Cast, helps more people get to know Blake and I.
Yes, and if you want to get to know more about Mary and I, you can just go to maryandblake.com where you can read all about us, as a matter of fact, and our story, how we created the company, but also all of the podcasts that we do.
Boring stuff.
Yeah. All the podcasts that we do, including the Crown podcast, the Hamilton podcast, by the way, got some new Hamilton Rise Up merch. Ooh. up on the site. So our podcast name was Rise Up. So if you are a fan of it, I have a couple of new shirts that are up there and some other products that are up there at the Mary and Blake store.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you can get all the Outlander Cast merch and everything that Mary and Blake related, including the new Jamie Night Vision goggle shirt that I will be doing tomorrow.
Blake.
And I will also be having our Quarren. I've dubbed it the Quarren stream. That's what I'm calling it, the Quarren stream. I'll have the Quarren stream shirt up in the Mary and Blake. What? You don't like it?
I don't know if I love it.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's memorable.
I'll let other people say.
It's memorable. Okay. Quarren stream is a great name because it harkens back to the fact that we were all quarantined. It's a live potty, but we're all quarantined from each other. We're watching the stream together. We're streaming it. Makes perfect sense. Love it. Love it. I loved all of it. Yeah, so that's that.
Okay.
And go to the Mary and Blake store. You can check out all that stuff. We'll have that ready to go. And,
All right.
That's it.
Well, I want to thank so many of you who took the time to write us a new review on your podcast app of choice. Of course, if you already have written a review, you can go in and kind of like and rate the previous reviews. But I want to thank Baseball Ballet, who said, Mary and Blake bring very in-depth analysis of each episode, and they do it with humor and a love of the show. They're so appreciative of the following and just make you laugh. Give them a try. You won't be sorry. Thank you so much.
Mark Thompson says, Quarren Stream sucks. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. we got someone who laughed at it. It's
okay,
fine.
I don't know if a laugh counts.
That's okay.
Don't know if a laugh counts, Blake.
Laugh does not count.
All right. I also want to thank everyone at OutlanderCastClan.com. No joke. You guys keep us going. You keep the whole entire Outlander cast going. So thank you so much for your patronage. I especially want to thank our most generous patrons. Angie, Candy, Carolyn, Celine, Christine, Dawn, Diane, Jeffrey, Jennifer, Karen, Marilyn, Moe, Patricia, Rita, Siobhan, Stephanie, and Valerie. And those were our associate producers. And we also want to thank our co-producers, Amanda, Ann Lee, Barbara, Dana, Janet, Jennifer, Keelan, Lori Ellen, Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Sharon, Tina, and Whitney. And last but certainly not least, our executive producers, Anne, Bobby, Dee, Eliza, Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha. Let's see if I can do it right. Nadra. Yay, Peg and Sarah. Thank you guys so much for everything. And thank you everyone for who was listening.
So thank you everybody for listening and doing all the reviews. If you'd like to give us some more reviews, please do so. Just go to your podcatcher of choice or go to the Mary and Blake Facebook page. I really like getting some reviews there as well. And so that's that. Our little lass is joining us. Let's say hi. Felicity, can you sing? To all the
put on the music
people?
So she can hear it.
All right, hold on.
Ready? Sing me a song. You sing. Of a lass that is gone. Sing be out. Mary. Oh, nope, you gave up. She got stage fright.
Felicity, can you
say? Oh, okay. It hurt your lip.
Felicity, can you say bye to everybody?
Bye.
Say thanks for listening to my mom and dad.
Thanks for listening from my mom and dad.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And
give
us some reviews
it.
Over there, and I really appreciate it.
My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.